Hey, y'all. Welcome to Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. I was talking to a couple of team members today at my office, and we've been off the air for a number of weeks. We came back on and then went back off because of the storm. So I'm going to bring, and listeners have emailed in, and some of them just, you know, they're wanting to know more. They've been listening to this show that we've been doing for over 11 years and are kind of attached to us. So when we disappear, which is in the past 11 years, for us to be off more than a week is, if you go into our history, it's extremely rare occurrence for us from that. So I didn't ask James to sign off on what I'm about to tell. So I'm going to tell him kind of what happened over the past 4 or 6 weeks or whatever. You cool with that?
I know.
It's a health thing with you.
I know the topic it covers, and I'm totally okay with it.
Okay. So going back, and I can't give you the timeline, but those that are following us know we've been away for probably almost a month now, which is like unbelievable when you piece it all together. So it may have coincided where I've run this show hard for 11 years. I rarely have ever taken shows off to take a break or anything. So we had a coincidence of me taking a few days, a long weekend, and combined with a holiday, started a break. I think we were going to come back on air, and I don't remember the exact timing, but what also connected with this on the listeners is James got COVID. So he was out for a period of time. He didn't infect me because I'm vaccinated up, so I'm on board with the vaccine. I've had both shots. I got those things, the first one back in February, so I'm good. I'm mindful. I don't have a problem with wearing a mask. I wore masks before it was an end thing. And so with that said, that doesn't mean we can't do a show because James is out, but we also had something else happen. And we had problems with what's called our bricks, which allows us to transmit out to radio stations the show signals, the show, so to speak. You know, that's kind of getting into technology there, but we had technical problems, and we had to get an engineer involved to fix, because actually this show originates from a studio at my home, so that we don't have to go downtown and do that thing that would just use up more time from that. So we had technical problems, so we had to run best of. I couldn't get on the air because of the technical problems. So we had the COVID, then we had technical problems, and then came up my vacation that had been planned months and months ago. So I went to Maui on vacation, and that was, I don't know, a 10-day type vacation, and I really enjoyed it. I've been there before. I recommend the Ritz-Carlton over on Maui. Just the views and everything's unbelievable. So then we come back, get back to work, get back on air, and then we're not here 5 days, and then a hurricane's coming to run us off. So we've been off air for the past 2 weeks because of the hurricane, and I'll tell you, majority of that is we were preempted from that, you know, because James and I do like doing a show, and we've done storm coverage on previous hurricanes in the past, but that's not for us to say or dictate anymore, and I'm fine with it. It was just, once again, another forced break from the weeknight show as well as the Saturday show. And being I've done this for 11 years, we might be a bit more best ofs here and there, taking a break, not have to run so hard. And when you think about this, what you know, when you have a free evening, you think of Gregory and James is over here on the air helping you financially every night. And then on Saturdays, you're doing things. Well, we're on air from 10 to 1. So we do 6 days a week of radio on air actually for 8 hours. And that does not include preparation for the show and James does a lot of other technical stuff behind the scenes. And my day job, I'm CEO and founder of Gregory Ricks and Associates, the Total Wealth Authority. So we help clients with their money. We're money managers, financial advisors. I've got four offices. I believe my team now numbers about 18 employees that are full time. And so that's kind of how life goes for us. So if you kind of wondered what happened, are they off there? Are they coming back? Well, we're back, and hopefully everything goes well and we don't have any forced breaks other than taking a little time off here and there. I'm not going to run, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm not going to run 3, 4, 5, 6 months hard again without taking a break. I'm going to take a couple of days every month. And you know what? That helps lower the stress also and some of the pressures. And I think 11 years, we've earned the chance to take some breaks too. You have anything to add? Did I couldn't go give them the dates of everything, but that kind of covers like the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, I was sick first, and then it was technical issues, and then it was vacation, and then we were on for a week, and then it was 2 weeks for Hurricane Ida. So for the last 5 weeks, were basically wiped for us. And it's funny because if you're listening on our New Orleans affiliate, the guy that comes on before us had a author who just wrote a book about time management. And so this is kind of thing that's just juggling through my head when you go into this, layout of what a tough schedule can look like and how even when you have a tight schedule, when more things get thrown at it, some balls are going to get dropped just necessarily. And we haven't had the time management topic on the show in a while, and it's even more pertinent now because you're handling not just a financial advisory firm with 18 employees. You now have 4 locations. And so time management has been tougher for you since last we talked about it on the show.
Yeah, and with that, I'm over, always counseling, working with advisors. I oversee all cases, so it's, and I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you the pace that we've worked at for the past 11 years with the show on top of that. So, saves quite a bit. Hey, I wanted to do that. So once again, it's not complaining, but people were wondering if we're having issues or anything. And I'll tell you, the firm's doing fine. We've had, with everybody with the storm, we had electricity out at 3 of the 4 offices, and they are all back up. Gulfport is when I was, when that storm was coming in, I was thinking, gosh, I diversified with offices, and yet this storm's going to knock out every office. But it turned out Gulfport was not impacted, kept electricity, which meant AC, kept internet, and staffing wasn't a problem because we've got employees that live out that way as well. But Baton Rouge was impacted, Mandeville was impacted, and Metairie office in the New Orleans area was impacted. And Mandeville and Baton Rouge came back up before Metairie did. Internet is working. We have a problem still with that. The provider looks like they got fried in that area that furnishes it. And we got in a workaround on that. So we've got a bypass on that, and I'm adding in another provider. So essentially, you can say, as from a firm standpoint, we're up and running. People are working. We're setting appointments. We're taking calls and doing what we're supposed to do as a firm. And even during the storm, I was monitoring everything. We have answering service, and we were back operational within a couple of days after the storm because of the Gulfport office and myself monitoring everything. And as other employees got back and got electricity and got the internet, so the staffing has been increased. So I don't have everybody 100% working because of that issue in Metairie, but I think we'll have all employees back working by Thursday. And it's not a negative impact to them. And we're, as a company, we're doing great and providing. And that's what just meaning we as a company anticipate this. We expect this to happen. And guess what? It's going to happen again. And we've learned from this, and we're going to make adjustments. As a show, we learn about these interruptions, like when we had those technical problems. I think we've got one other thing to tweak on one of the bricks that we couldn't get it to do a particular thing, but I think we're going to replace that piece of hardware. And then I think we could have other technical problems, but it won't be for the same reason then. And that's kind of how things go. It'll be something else you didn't think of or something else breaks from that. But that's kind of giving you an up-to-date on this past 6 weeks of winning at Life Radio and our record period of best ofs that we got into that period of time. But I'm glad to be back on air. We're always happy to take your calls, give you some help. And just like at the day job, you need somebody that's going to be there no matter what's going on to help you with your money, to look out for things, returning phone calls. And we were reaching out to people that had questions, need some help. But I think that's a confidence thing. So you can be confident in what my firm does, Gregory Bricks and Associates, the Total Wealth Authority, and you can be confident in what we do here for you on this show and bring help to you daily. House Democrats propose top 39.6% tax rate. So the Dems have proposed a top marginal income tax rate of 39.6% for individuals as part of a sweeping change to the tax code to fund climate investments and expansion of the U.S. safety net. So that's what they're calling it, a safety net and climate. You know, I won't go into opinion right here because I need to cover the rest of this. That rate, an increase from the current 37% levy for the wealthiest taxpayers, would kick in for single individuals with a taxable income over 500. I'm sorry, I was going to say 500, but it's 400,000, according to a legislative outline issued by the House Ways and Means Committee yesterday. It would also apply to married individuals filing a joint tax returns whose taxable income exceeds $450,000, to heads of household over $425,000, to married individuals filing separate returns over $225,000. Ouch! And to estates and trusts over $12,500. Yeah, you get that. Estates and trusts, they just get taxed at the max tax bracket. It's not a progressive deal for them in that case. Lost order of some of my notes there for that, but let's jump over to some of the other problems we have going there. But that's, that's really stiff from these top tax brackets going up. And, you know, they're not waiting till 2026, they're trying to knock that Trump tax breaks out right now. Now, also, they proposed retirement plan rules for the rich, new retirement plan rules for the rich, including contribution limits and a repeal of Roth conversions. We talked about this last night, but the House also proposed a slew of changes to retirement accounts for the rich yesterday, part of a restructuring of the tax code. And I think they're trying to raise like $3.5 trillion or spend that much of our money. Taken together, Dems' reforms aim to erode the use of retirement accounts as a perceived tax shelter for wealthy instead of promote them as a way for low and middle income Americans to build a nest egg.
But if it's a tax shelter for low and middle income, why wouldn't rich people be able to take advantage of it too? Like, how can you even word that?
Okay, well, we're going to probably tomorrow we're going to come back around and define what's low and middle income and upper income. And they're saying middle income, and then everybody else is wealthy, so you don't need to save money. And I have a problem, and one of the reasons I'll mention to that when in just a moment, but wealthy individuals with retirement accounts exceeding $10 million would be prohibited from contributing extra savings and would have a new required minimum distribution each year, according to an outline of the legislation that was revealed yesterday. The bill would also repeal so-called Roth conversions in individual retirement accounts and 401k type plans for those making more than $400,000 a year or couples making more than $450,000. It also would prevent savers from using the mega backdoor Roth strategy regardless of income level. And I don't think that's the right thing, because the rules have been forever to allow you to put much more into your 401ks. And they're like, oh, you can't do that. Well, you know what? And I'll tell you right here, right now, the biggest problem we have is people don't save money. So you've got basically low and middle class are higher proportionate that they don't save. We need more incentives to save, not taking stuff away from us. And some of this needs to be from a catch-up standpoint, where later in life, you're making more and you can put more away. Why? Because you've bought that house, maybe even paid it off. You've got the kids grown. They're through college. You know, now you've freed up some money to save, and you're probably needing to catch up, and they're taking that away from you. So legislation would prohibit individual retirement accounts from holding investments that require buyers to be accredited investors. I don't have a problem with that, because when they say you have to be an accredited investor, that's probably too much risk for most people. Why is accredited investors? Well, basically, it's somebody with $1 million plus, meaning, yeah, if they're accredited, they can afford to lose some money. The proposals are a broader part of the theme of raising taxes on those who earn more than $400,000 a year. Democrats, basically what stirred this is ProPublica. It was really convenient that somebody from the Treasury leaked tax returns of the wealthy. So they started publishing this stuff, and they talked about Peter Thiel, a PayPal co-founder, owns a Roth IRA that had grown to $5 billion in 2019, up from less than $2,000 in 1999. Well, you know what happened? He put some very low price, you know, it's kind of like penny stocks into that Roth account, did a conversion of that and placed that in there. And next thing you know, the company has a ridiculous price per share. And yeah, he made a lot of money. So this fluke, this got lucky, creates where, oh, we have to change the whole system. IRAs were designed to provide, and in this article here is defining, and this is from CNBC, IRAs were designed to provide retirement security to middle-class families, not allow super wealthy to avoid paying tax. Senator Ron Wyden, chair of the Senate Finance Committee. No, they're designed for everybody to put away money. And sometimes, yeah, some people really hit it big, but that is not the norm, that we have people running around with billions in Roth accounts.
You want to go to the call?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take care of the call.
All right, George in Mobile, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, George?
Well, I have just a general question.
Yeah, George.
Recent graduate. She actually went through and graduated pharmacy school, and she's been licensed now and working for a little over a month. But needless to say, her income, she's going to be bringing in about $120,000 a year. And she plans on living with us for the next year. She has about $70,000 in student loans, which is real low for them, graduate pharmacy school. But my point is that I'm kind of wondering, you know, now that she has this income, obviously it's a lot more than she's ever had before being a student. But what percentage would you kind of recommend for her to put back as start investing for her retirement now? Because she will not have a retirement plan, obviously, through her company, as per se.
But she's a pharmacist, basically, now. So the company she's working for currently, she's not self-employed, is she, or is she a contract employee?
No, she works for a local grocery store chain. I won't give
okay.
the name.
But, that's okay. Well, what I'm getting at, she may not spend her whole career in that job to where it doesn't have, say, right. 401k benefits. But that's where she's at now. So the first thing, she needs to create an emergency savings account. So my next question before we get on to this investing part, because one of the things I'm thinking about is that $70,000 in debt. Do we have a plan for a speedy way to get rid of that?
Right. She's going to hit that aggressively. Obviously, right now she has fallen into that, I guess, a 6-month moratorium where she's paying no interest. So at the time, she has started banking back money, and she has about $15,000 in a savings account that she had set separate from her checking account.
Okay.
And when December hits, I think that's, or January is when the moratorium ends, so about 6 months, by, as of right now, then she plans to aggressively put down a majority of that on that debt. And she will actively pay that off over the next 2 years. We've already agreed on that.
I, once again, think she should have emergency savings. I think that before life takes over, which means evolves into family, getting a house, another car, kids, you know, life's going to take over, and I'd hate to see her still carrying that debt for 10, 15, 20 years. I think it and if she's living at home, expenses are low, to get that knocked out. And congratulations on finishing that school and becoming a pharmacist. It's like you've got employment forever having that. And if I like no debt, but hey, if subsidy debt was a good deal on that, then fine. But let's get that knocked out. Here's one thing she can do towards investing is get $6,000 a year put into a Roth IRA. That money grows tax-free, and it's tax-free as structured under the law now when she will retire long time from now. And I think that's some one of the things she can do. And once again, being in her early 20s at this time is the assumption there. So she's got a long investment horizon. You know, I like, say, an S&P 500 ETF, exchange-traded fund, for that money to be directed to. So I think that's a good game plan to start. Have an emergency money, knock out that, but also because time is money, and she has time on her side, so time's going to make her more money going forward. So I think the other thing that we didn't get in there was get some money going into a Roth. Okay, there we go. So back to the tax discussion that we were having.
Yeah, so it sounds like a general repeal of the Trump tax cuts with a few other tweaks and twists in there, and so far I'm not liking most of this.
I'm not liking any of it, because what the parts I'm disliking, you know, it, look, if you feel you need to make a couple percent more on the higher income people, fine, whatever. But one of the things, and we talked about this a few weeks back, I'm going to have to pull up my numbers on this, but, you know, we've got like, because of COVID now, we've got like 57% of the population on 2021 taxes are going to end up not paying any taxes. It's tremendous. Generally, that number's around 42% historically, I believe, that don't participate in the tax system. And, you know, if you kind of put some math to the taxpayers out there, if they all paid something, and I don't think that's fair either, because there's a portion that shouldn't because of their income so low. But gosh, we've got too many people opting out of the tax system. And I'm not saying a minimum tax or anything. And we're talking about individuals, not corporations there. And it's just, gosh, it seems like there's probably too many people not paying anything. So that would help tremendously if we had more paying taxes. But that top 20, that top 30%, at some point, you're going to have to figure something else out, because you can't be taxing to death those that are actually running our economy with spending, hiring, investing, and jobs. You finally take away from them, then you cause this whole thing to shut down. We are not socialist. We're free market capitalist there. So that's my thought from a tax standpoint. So yeah, and start squashing because of Peter Thiel doing something that turned out to be huge for him. That is not the norm. That's not to go and revamp the whole system. You know, in my younger days, you know, I, like George's daughter that called in, you know, I didn't have the opportunity or that kind of money early in my life and career to make money to save. I'm like a lot of you, I'm more on the back end. I've been working on catch up for years and years, but I didn't start investing and saving when I was in my early 20s. So I can relate to, hey, we need to be allowed to put more away in later years. And, you know, they technically probably, Washington would probably call me wealthy, but I sure as heck don't feel like it at all. And yeah, I think I need to save more.
I am kind of concerned about that corporate rate. You know, it was 35%. The last president brought it down to, what is it now, 21% or 20%? 21.
Yeah, 21.
And so the original proposal is said, well, let's just repeal the Trump's tax cuts. And then that would bring the corporate rate back up to 35%, which would be huge. That would be almost doubling it in nominal terms. But the compromise that's being tossed around in this latest proposal is moving it up to 26.5%. And I think even that would do a lot of damage, you know, not necessarily to the corporations themselves, but to the economy as a whole. You know, every time I transact a business with someone with a corporation, my costs are going to go up. You know, why do we want to raise taxes on all these corporations? I'm going to end up paying that. You know, you raise taxes on Amazon. Oh, great. Now everything I order over the computer is going to be more expensive. You raise taxes on Walmart. Everything I get at the grocery store is going to be more expensive.
Yes.
Who are you helping here? So that's one of my concerns. And it was brought up, there was a guest on Cavuto today, this guy named Scott Hodge, and he didn't use the term corporate inversions, but I think that's what he's talking about here. You ready to review some of this audio?
Okay. Yep.
Well, that's exactly right. They are rolling back tax rates to a previous era, especially on the corporate side, in which we did see a flight of U.S. companies seeking better tax systems abroad. Our models tend to show that this is going to happen again, that we will see an incentive for U.S. companies to shift operations abroad to try to find lower tax rates.
You know, money in a free market capitalist society that we operate in, and we're not socialists. Some people get confused on that. Money does hunt for efficiency. It's called efficient markets. And money, you know, from a manufacturing standpoint, it searches for lower costs on manufacturing. Corporations and shareholders, they look for profits. And if they could pay less taxes, they're like, where it starts flowing towards where less taxes. So then, yeah, you're seeing corporate inversions again, and money will flow overseas because it's looking for less taxes, just like manufacturing the widgets. Who can do it for less? Unfortunately, that flowed to China. And horrible system is they said, well, we have to have a piece of the company and we got to know how you do all this stuff so we can do it on the black market. But they didn't say that black market part. But, you know, we should have done that on the flip side. Say, yeah, okay, but on our stuff, same rules apply.
All right, another clip from Scott Hodge on Neil Cavuto's show on Fox Business this afternoon.
Well, I think the war on success has begun. And what they're trying to do is fund this very massive expansion of government, really on the backs of about 5,000 U.S. corporations and about 1.5 million successful Americans, most of which are individually owned businesses. So this is a huge, huge tax increase on the core of the U.S. economy. It's going to be a slower economy, fewer jobs, lower wages, and a less prosperous overall America.
I totally agree with him. I think we are impacting, and then, you know, if we're impacting profits and we create a situation of slower growth, stock market does not like that. And you're already seeing this market. We had an up day yesterday, but we've been down for a week essentially because market has concerns about what they're trying to do in Washington.
Well, I'm concerned from that ratio that you had pointed out earlier, where almost 60% of the country is not putting into the federal income tax system. And so that's real interesting. In democracies past, whenever a majority of the populace figures out that they can vote themselves goodies from the treasury and make the minority pay for it, that starts a downward spiral, a fiscal trend that happens across time and history over and over and over. And it'll be interesting to see how we deal with that. And if this is going to be a temporary thing and it'll snap back next year in a couple years or in the next series of elections, you know, these are going to be some pretty important votes we have over the next 2 and 3 years.
Yeah, this next year's elections regarding the House and Senate are going to be pretty important. We had wrapped up on that tax topic regarding those articles, so I'm going to cover a couple other things here that I think can help you out. And one of those is two rules that could mess up your retirement regarding Social Security. So this will be real short. Then I want to talk about something else. But once again, this is kind of tax related also. So we have to think about, and that's where George's call earlier about his daughter, what is tax efficient for her is after-tax investment called a Roth IRA that grows tax-deferred and money comes out tax-free. Couple of things on Roth IRAs, you know, you've got to get the clock going for 5 years by having one set up. And even if she can't fund it at $6,000 a year, I think she should still go ahead and get a Roth IRA set up and put some money in it to get that clock started. And once again, a Roth IRA, that's after tax contribution. So they can come out prior to age 59 and a half and can be used for college. And there's some perks in there, but I wouldn't use it for any of those perks. I would want to try to copy Peter Thiel best I can and build a massive retirement account with millions of dollars in a Roth IRA if I was coaching her to do so. And then once you reach age 59 and a half, yeah, all that money's coming out tax-free. So I would just be making sure I max that every year. And if she does end up working for a company that has a 401k, well, some of that 401k should be going into a Roth as well. So back to Social Security rules here that could mess up your retirement. Number one, and I'm only going to cover two of them on this, and this was a Motley Fool article I read. And one of the things you look at is the reading that I do, a sample of it, because I read a lot of stuff every day. And my dedication to my craft, which is financial advisor, money manager, and financial talk show host. Go to GregoryRicks.com. There's a news blog there, and we put up the articles. You know, and we don't put up everything I read, but typically I'll have a selection each day that goes up from something I think that's important to you. And they're, for the most part, somewhat timeless. So you can go back, and it's like a treasure trove of articles by topic there over at GregoryRicks.com. So one of the rules that can mess you up is filing early generally means locking in a lower benefit for life. The monthly Social Security benefit you're entitled to in retirement is based on the wages you earn during your 35 highest years of earnings. From there, you can collect that benefit once you reach full retirement age, or what we call FRA. You'll hear us drop that acronym from time to time. FRA isn't universal. It's based on the year you were born. So you're allowed to sign up for benefits much earlier than FRA, though. In fact, you can file for Social Security once you turn 62. But if you go that route, you must be aware that your monthly benefit will be reduced, and that reduction generally remains in effect for the rest of your retirement. Some situations regarding widow's benefits, a spouse dies at higher earnings, can get you worked around on that technical lock-in of a low benefit. But to take generally, technically, you can undo your filing once in your lifetime and claim benefits at a later age, but there's a catch. To take advantage of the do-over option, you must withdraw your application for benefits within a year of submitting it and repay all of Social Security benefits you receive. Many seniors who have filed early have trouble with that second part, and that's the paying it back. And I think that's a rare thing that happens. So they get stuck with a lower benefit the rest of your life. Here's number two, and it's going to deal with taxes. Your Social Security benefits are subject to taxes. But there are some states that impose their own taxes on Social Security, while others leave those benefits alone. But even if you don't retire in a state that taxes benefits, you may lose a chunk of that income to taxes anyways. That's because Social Security is taxable at the federal level, depending on what your income looks like. Fortunately, you don't need to earn a lot to have your benefits taxed. What this amounts to is most everybody's going to be taxed on their Social Security. If your provisional income, your non-Social Security income plus 50% of your benefits, that's what defines your provisional income. If that falls between $25,000 and $34,000 and you're single, or between $32,000 to $44,000 if you're married, then 50% of your Social Security benefits will be taxed. For singles, beyond $34,000, and for couples, beyond $44,000 income, 85% of your benefits could or will be taxed. The more you read up on Social Security, the less these otherwise less than favorable rules are apt to hurt you. But one of the key things is to understand how it works and how it's taxed. And locking in early at 62, the pre-FRA, man, that is a deep reduction there. And you've locked it in for a long, long time. You know, what's most people's life expectancy? Somewhere in their late 80s. If you both make 65, then it's going to be close to average life expectancy for you is going to be about age 90. So you're talking about turning it on early. You've locked in a low benefit. What? Yeah, the math's easy. 28 years based on life expectancy. And then taxes. You have to think about how you're taking income, how under distribution rules, what's going to be favorable for you. And it wouldn't necessarily mean leaving those IRA distributions later. So you could work some windows, but you don't want to force yourself into higher taxes later in life. And I think that's, once again, we have to start thinking about how we're going to be taxed. And some of this is not to waste tax brackets as well. So some of these things we're actually going to do for our clients. I'm planning right now some, I guess, pop-up events, I'll call them, but they're going to be wine and wisdom events that we're creating for our clients. And one of the things is having a group educational events in locations where my offices are. But what we're going to talk about those is tactical investing, you know, kind of have adjustments made when money needs to move. Tactical investing means money needs to shift. It's going to shift, and then it's going to find where the momentum is. It's a simple way to define that on air here at the end of the show. So we're going to talk about that at the event, but we're going to talk about tax efficient investing at those events also, and tax favored ETFs create tax efficiency their own investing. And I think those are two important topics. So we're going to create some pop-up events there. And I'm going to talk with you on the show more and more about that. And tomorrow's show, I'm going to talk to you about how to use insurance products for tax sheltered growth. And a lot of people, that gets overlooked because everybody's not going to stay taxed the same when they retire or be taxed more. We've got a lot of people that taxes actually do go down for them. So how can you take advantage of that? Because how can you shelter higher taxed money now and take it out later at a lower tax as well? So that's, once again, creating tax efficiency there when you understand the distribution rules and how to take money out in a more efficient way. Because if you pay less taxes over time, your money goes a lot further. It doesn't have to work as hard to accomplish those goals.
All right. We also have some videos available on our YouTube channel. And there's one that we just put up a month ago, backdoor tricks for Roth contributions, the old backdoor Roth. We might have to take that down if some of these legislative proposals you talked about.
Well, next year, but if I understand it's going into effect next year, we got to get to work on putting some more money away this year while we have the opportunity before they take it away.
All right. If you need any more financial assistance, maybe you should just go ahead and call Gregory at his office. It doesn't matter whether you're in the Gulfport, Baton Rouge, North Shore, New Orleans area. It's one number, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier.
This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.